on this episode of Rev Hang.
Detroit never fails to just be an absolute cluster on the first turn. I thought I was cooking.
Maybe this week, Ben.
Maybe this week. I'll do it. I don't even care. I'll just start another podcast. Easy. An agricultural podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me, virtually, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got off work, and I'm ready to talk about some racing. Although, I will say, I'm hoping that the sun lasts for a little longer, so I have time to go out and put some fertilizer on the lawn.
Yes. Doing farming slash gardening things, I hear.
Yep, I put up a trellis yesterday. I've been pruning the apple trees, pared the bunches down. I've been farming for sure. My little third of an acre.
Awesome stuff, Ben. Well, this is not an agriculture podcast, as much as that would be interesting. This is a Formula 1.
I got a couple episodes of that in me.
There you go. Maybe an offshoot.
Yeah.
This is a racing podcast, so let's talk about some racing. We got quite a few races to go over today. Three of them, in fact. But before that, let's just start with some paddock news. Lots of movement in the driver market the last couple of weeks. First off, news that everybody saw coming. Esteban Ocon has, air quotes, mutually agreed to part ways with Alpine.
Remember when we were talking, was it the last episode? We were like, I don't know who out of Alpine would leave if they had to. I think they have such a strong team, they would just stay together.
Yeah, that was a couple races ago. Yeah. I still feel like overall that would have been the wise decision, but there's probably a lot going on behind the scenes just based on how explosive things seem to be right now. So who knows? In other news, Sergio Perez renewed his contract with Red Bull on a 1+1 deal. So he gets another chance in 2025, and the nature of Red Bull 1+1 deals means that he could pretty much be dropped at any time.
Nice.
So that's not the last of the Perez slander for today.
No,
don't worry.
I think it's a pretty solid decision to keep him around. I mean, I would have preferred to see Perez or Sainz go, but I mean, yeah. He still brings in some points, even though, as we saw from last Sunday, it wasn't very many.
Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting decision there. I understand it. I think they're trying to keep Verstappen happy because Perez isn't much of a competition to Max at the moment. But on the other hand, Sergio Perez could currently be single-handedly losing Red Bull the Constructors' Championship right now.
It's very exciting, though, while it is happening.
Yes, so it's an interesting decision. We'll see how it pans out. I just thought that they would try to make a change, possibly for the better, because this season Perez has not been... He's been okay at the beginning of the season, but It's kind of starting to go like last season a little bit. And Red Bull does not have the margin of error that they did last season.
Nope.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think next year's going to be even tighter at the front. So, we'll see how this decision plays out. But I would not have made that one.
Maybe Red Bull's just, you know, they want to make the competition a little spicier.
Yeah.
They're bored. They're worried that a season of Max Verstappen dominance could bore fans.
Yeah, something like that. Also, Yuki Tsunoda has renewed his contract with VCARB for another season. Just continuing his suffering in that team.
Hey, he's been scoring points, though. So,
yeah,
it's better than a lot of teams.
It has been better this year, for sure. He's looked actually very solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like VCARB, like the Red Bull sister team, has to be the worst team on the grid to drive for.
Yeah.
Just so much pressure, and the cars are usually not that great, and so it's just a recipe for tough times.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me that the Red Bull sister team could be so far behind Red Bull's actual performance. Like, I know there's some rules, but I mean, come on. You saw how close Racing Point was able to get to Mercedes, and they weren't even related.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's a good question why the V Carb hasn't been anywhere near Red Bull. Like, you would think they'd share some things. I know they're not supposed to, but
It
I don't know.
happens.
Yeah, of course
It
it
has to.
happens. So
Cheat more,
yeah,
Red Bull.
it's possible. It's possible that it's intentionally not a front running team to not compete with the main team, and also to see how drivers do when they're in the midfield, when they're in the back of the pack, if they can take a bad car to places it shouldn't be. Maybe that's how Red Bull is vetting out their drivers, but I don't know. Now I got the tinfoil hat on.
There we go.
Yeah, so that all happened in unofficial news. It's being posted all over the place right now that Ollie Bearman has signed for Haas for 2025. It's not official yet. Who knows? But generally, where there's smoke, there's fire in F1. So, yeah, that would be cool to see. I think he is a very solid pick for Haas. And then that pretty much leaves Carlos Sainz to either go to Williams or Sauber. And everyone thought it was going to be Sauber for so long. And now the rumor mill is saying Williams. I just don't see why he would go to Williams.
That'd be so weird. Oh.
It'd be very weird.
Yeah, that'd be weird. So, Hülkenberg's going to Sauber. Does that mean it's going to be Bearman and Magnussen at Haas next year? Or is Magnussen staying?
That's a very good question.
That kind of scares me. I don't want Bearman to learn from Magnussen.
Yeah, it's possible. I know Liam Lawson has been told that if he doesn't get the V Carb seat, that he is free to pursue other options. So maybe Liam Lawson slots into Haas.
Ooh, we could have
Another double rookie
another double
season.
rookie season for Haas. That worked
Yeah,
so well last time.
that went well last time. I think these rookies are a little different caliber, though, than Nikita Mazepin.
Ouch. Needless to say about Mick Schumacher.
Well, that's the thing, though, is Mick Schumacher was a big up-and-coming driver, and it just did not go well. So anything could happen. I think the Haas is better than it was, though,
Yeah,
to be
that's not
fair.
hard though.
Yeah, that's a pretty low bar. And then last in our paddock news, we have Agustin Canapino was replaced for Road America. It is unclear, has not been stated the exact reason why. It has not been stated if he is coming back.
The team said something about wanting to maintain their driver's physical and mental health.
There's been quite a bit of buzz around Canapino the last week or so. Because, well, I don't know how deep we should get into this.
Let me, can I can read a blurb from Associated Press on the matter.
Read us a nice headline that won't get us in trouble, Ben.
Juncos Hollinger, I don't know how to say that correctly, the racing team that Canapino races for, said at the time that the safety of Augustine and the rest of the competitors has to be considered first and foremost, and we must prioritize the mental and physical health and well-being of our drivers in our competition. Online abuse is unacceptable, and we need to ensure that our drivers are prepared both mentally and physically when they get in the car, J.H.R. co-owner said in a statement. We are saddened by the events that led to this scenario.
Okay, so to give a little more insight without getting too into it, there was a collision that happened involving Canapino and Teo Pourchaire in Detroit, and some fans went a little over the line and were kind of, well, no, not even kind of, they went over the line and were abusing each driver. Both of them were involved on the internet, and just caused a whole bunch of problems.
I didn't see it though, so it must not have happened. I mean, if you're
Okay.
getting those kinds of threats, you should really just brush them off.
Okay, Mr.
Yeah,
Canapino. Go read into it if you want to read more. I don't know how much we should talk about
It's a really
this.
good tutorial on how not to respond to people
How to
being
not.
threatened on social media.
Yeah. It was a whole thing. If you're interested, go read about it. I don't want to get myself involved in this. So, don't want to turn a whole country of people against me when we have 27 viewers.
I'll do it. I don't even care.
Okay, Ben. Go
I'm gonna
right ahead.
start another podcast. Easy.
There we go.
An agricultural podcast. Okay, I'm done.
All right, let's talk about some racing.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Detroit Grand Prix, let's go through qualifying in the top 10. It's a tight street circuit reminiscent of Baku for all of our Formula One only fans. That sounded wrong. Qualifying, top 10, Colton Herta on pole position, followed by Palou, Newgarden, McLaughlin, Dixon, Kirkwood, Teo Pourchaire, Power, Ericsson, and Ferrucci in 10th. Ferrucci's actually been having pretty good qualifyings this year. And that about sums up where the good things are. All right, race highlights. Colton Herta maintained the lead on the start. There was a massive pileup into turn 3, causing the first of many, many cautions of the day. On lap 16, Ferrucci took out Castroneves, causing a caution. On lap 32, McLaughlin spun and stalled, causing a caution. On lap 41, Kirkwood took the lead from Lundgaard on the restart. Power and VK hit each other, causing another caution. On lap 46, Herta outbraked himself and got stuck, causing another caution. On lap 53, Lundgaard and Grosjean hit each other, causing a caution. On lap 60, Teo Pourchaire sent it into Canepino, but surprisingly, there was no caution. On lap 63, Stingray Robb got taken out and caused a caution. On lap 70, Newgarden and Palou hit each other and caused a caution. And on lap 98, Marcus Ericsson passed Marcus Armstrong for P2.
Incredible.
That was
Detroit
like,
never fails to just be an absolute cluster on the first turn.
yeah, it was kind of getting ridiculous. I mean, we had, I think it was almost ha almost if not more than half the race was yellow flag running.
Yeah, it's like it kind of reminds me of like if it's like the Monaco of IndyCar, except the drivers are still trying to pass each other.
Yeah, that's a very, yeah, that's a good way to put it. But anyway, let's go through the results. Scott Dixon ended up winning the race, won that lottery. Marcus Ericsson got second, and Marcus Armstrong got third. Fourth and fifth were Kirkwood and Rossi. Sixth through 10 were Power, O'Ward, Rosenqvist, Ferrucci, and Pourchaire. 11 through 15 were Lundgaard, Canepino, Fittipaldi, VK, and Rahal. 16 through 20 were Palou, Harvey, Vautier, or Vautier. I'm not a French speaker. Colton Herta was 19th, and McLaughlin was 20th, 21 through 25. Colton Herta didn't finish, did he? No, he did. Okay. 21 through 25 were Stingray Robb, Linus Lundqvist, Romain Grosjean, Kiffin Simpson, and Helio Castroneves. And then 26th and 27 were Newgarden and Rasmussen.
Insane.
Crazy stuff. Yeah. Very bad race for some championship contenders like Newgarden and Herta and McLaughlin. And Palou. And then a very good one for other championship contenders like Dixon and Power and
Quickly
O'Ward.
checking who else is a championship contender.
Well, there's so many right now because IndyCar things.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Why I like this sport.
But also very hard to keep track of.
Yes,
Like,
indeed.
is Alexander Rossi in contention for a championship?
Mathematically, yes.
Math, which is insane to me, but yeah, IndyCar things.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Road America and the top 10 in qualifying. We had Linus Lundqvist on pole position for the first time in his IndyCar career. I can't remember the last time we saw a rookie on pole. Then we had Colton Herta and Marcus Armstrong. Kyle Kirkwood and Will Power were 4th and 5th. 6 through 10 were Newgarden, Palou, McLaughlin, Rossi, and Dixon. All right, going into the race, Lindqvist got spun out by Armstrong into turn 1, ending his dreams of a race win. and they took Herta out with them. This caused the first caution of the race. On lap 4, McLaughlin took the lead from Kirkwood. On lap 6, Rasmussen took Simpson out, causing the second caution of the race. On lap 9, there was a lot of action in the midfield, with Grosjean passing Palou and Power passing Dixon. Grosjean actually made a clean pass. On lap 32, McLaughlin passed Power and Newgarden for the lead. On lap 36, Newgarden passed McLaughlin for the lead. And on lap 45, Will Power took the lead of the race on strategy with a massive overcut.
Yeah, that was crazy. It felt like he kind of came out of nowhere just because the strategy was so powerful on that.
Yeah, he was always kind of lurking in P3-ish. And then out of nowhere at the end of the race, he was just far and away the fastest guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Results of the race. We had Power win, followed by Newgarden and McLaughlin. All Penske top three. Fourth and fifth were Palou and Kirkwood. 6 through 10 were Herta, Grosjean, O'Ward, Eriksson, and Rahal. 11 through 15 were Lundgaard, Lundqvist, Porcher, Rosenqvist, and Ferrucci. Linus Lundqvist with a great recovery to P12. 16 through 20 were Fittipaldi, Stingray Robb, Alex Rossi, Helio Castroneves, and Christian Rasmussen. And 21 through 25 were Dixon, Giotto, Siegel, BK, and Harvey. And 26 and 27 were Armstrong and Simpson.
Race where everybody finished.
Simpson, right? And Armstrong did
not. No, never mind. Undergrad.
Yeah. All right. So we had Will Power's first win in almost 2 years, which it feels kind of crazy to say.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago. He was the world champ or the IndyCar champion. So, it's kind of crazy
Hamilton
that he didn't
moment.
Win. Yeah, then last year he broke his like 15-year long win streak.
Yeah.
Definitely a Lewis Hamilton moment. And then he is now the championship leader. He's been very consistent, and this win just put him over the top. So, good job to him. Someone's finally taking the fight to Alex Palou. Last talking point, we've had a lot of cautions the last few weeks. Seems like drivers are like gloves are off and they are not afraid
to going for it.
Send it. Yeah. I think there's a lot of rookies in the field, and I think that's part of it. A lot of really hungry rookies, and then a lot of really hungry vets that are not winning as much as they feel like they could. Like Colton Herta and Pato O'Ward are driving like maniacs sometimes.
Although Colton Herta's had a bad streak of luck these past three races.
Yes, Colton Herta is far and away the unluckiest driver in the field right now. I think my next standalone video, I think my plan was to actually make a full video on Colton Herta's luck. So we'll see if that pans out. But I think that's a good topic and would be interesting. And there would be lots of stats, which I know you love, Ben.
Yeah, plenty of stats, lots of material over the past years.
Yes, much. Andretti giving me lots to chew on. All right, let's go through the top 10 in the championship standings. In first place with 236 points is Will Power, followed by Alex Palou with 231, very close there, and Scott Dixon with 225, also very close. Pato O'Ward has 184, a little further back in fourth, and Scott McLaughlin has 179. He is tied with Kyle Kirkwood, who also has 179. Colton Herta, who was leading the championship three races ago, is now in seventh place at 176. Joseph Newgarden is at 169. If he did not have that race win taken away from him, he would be up in P4. Alex Rossi is at 162 in ninth place, and Felix Rosenqvist is in 10th, which I didn't think he'd be that high, but he must be pretty consistent right now at 157. Some surprising people down further in the standings. We've got Eriksson in 13th. Not really surprising, I guess, but not having a great year. And Grosjean in 16th, who has been better this year, but has been farther down the standings, which is kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Grosjean has overall been a lot better this year.
He's kept a low profile, at least.
Yeah, he's not grabbing a lot of attention. He's had his incidents, but at least two of like the three that I can think of were not his fault.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, not at all. So, I think he's been doing better. I think Christian Rasmussen is the torpedo on the track now.
Yeah, I've been kind of getting that feeling.
Guy's taking everybody out. In the last few races, like three or four races, Christian Rasmussen's been just driving like a crazy man. Like poor Nolan Siegel, it's like his second race in IndyCar, and he just gets absolutely demolished. Brutal. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to F1.
Sure, so close to the top 22. I just want to throw that out there.
He is, and I think he's only... Did he miss the first two races, I think? So...
Yeah.
With two races out, and I think probably one DNF. I think he's had a DNF.
I think so, yeah.
So he's missed three races. He's still 21st.
Is that including Indy 500?
I don't remember if he raced in the 500. No, he didn't race the 500, so... Three, if not four, races that he hasn't scored points. The fact that he's as high up as he is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right up there with Lundqvist and Canapino and Stingray Robb and Christian Rasmussen. So I guess maybe not the best of role models, but
at least he's ahead of Stingray Robb.
This is true. Christian Rasmussen isn't even ahead of Stingray Robb. Tom Blomqvist was dropped after the Indy 500. Forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
He has not raced in two races. I think he is gone for good, unfortunately. I really wanted to see him do well in IndyCar, but I think they should have given him a full season at least. But, you know, I don't think that the sports car skill set necessarily transfers over as easily as it does the other way around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunate. Maybe we'll see him back by the end of the year, but kind of doubt it. I think he'll probably just go back to IMSA for now. That's where he's been dominating, so.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he tried. He tried it. It didn't work out, but, you know, he tried it.
At least he's got a place to go back to.
Exactly. I mean, are people ever going to say that... why am I blanking on his name? Seven-time champion of NASCAR that raced for 2 years in IndyCar and didn't do well.
Jimmy Johnson.
There we go. My brain. I promise I know who he is. Jimmy Johnson was not good in IndyCar, but as we know, has won 7 NASCAR Cups. So, you know, still a racing legend and always will be. All right. Formula One, Canadian Grand Prix. Let's talk about it. Starting with qualifying in a fantastic qualifying session, probably the best of the year so far, even better than Monaco. George Russell took pole position, followed by Max Verstappen and Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri and Daniel Ricciardo in 4th and 5th. 6th through 10 were Alonso, Hamilton, Tsunoda, Stroll, and Albon. Both Ferraris qualified outside the top 10, and Sergio Perez qualified 16th. All right. Russell maintained the lead at the start of the race. Perez and Gasly came together at turn two, but were able to continue. Both Haas drivers flew through the field on the full wet tires at the beginning of the race when everyone else was on intermediates. By lap 8, the crossover to intermediate tires forced Haas into the pits. On lap 20, Norris passed Verstappen for P2. I think first time Verstappen's actually been passed on track in a long time. Other than the signs in Australia thing, but that wasn't his fault. On lap 21, Norris passed Russell for the lead, and Verstappen passed Russell for P2. On lap 25, Sargeant spun and hit the wall, ending his race and causing a safety car. Norris got dropped back to third after the safety car. On lap 30, Albon passed Ricciardo and Ocon for P9 into the last chicane with a fantastic move. On lap 48, Verstappen passed Norris on pit strategy. On lap 49, Russell passed Norris for P2. And two laps later, Norris passed him back for P2. On lap 53, Perez spun and hit the wall, and Sainz spun and took out Albon in the process. This brought another safety car out. Perez was given a 3-place grid penalty for Spain for driving on track in an unsafe condition because his rear wing was dragging on the ground behind him. basically On lap 63, Hamilton passed Russell, and 2 laps later, Hamilton passed Piastri for P3. The next lap, Russell passed Piastri for P4. Later on that lap, Tsunoda spun his car but was able to continue. And on lap 68, Russell passed Hamilton for P3. Lots and lots of good stuff this race. Going through the results, Max Verstappen did win the race, followed by Lando Norris and George Russell. Fourth and fifth were Hamilton and Piastri. 6 through 10 were Alonso, Stroll, Ricciardo, Gasly, and Ocon. 11 through 15 were Hülkenberg, Magnussen, Bottas, Tsunoda, and Zhou. That rounds off the finishers. And then our DNFs were Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon, Sergio Perez, Charles Leclerc, and Logan Sargeant.
Brutal race.
Brutal race for some, awesome race for fans. That was a ton of fun to watch. I think that was the best race of the season so far.
It was really fun to watch. I could have done with a few less cautions. But aside from it, because it messed with the tire strategy.
Yeah, but I think that's what made it fun to watch
I
for me at least.
guess.
I mean, I guess people take different things out of races, but I really liked the chaos. I didn't like that one safety car screwed Lando over, but if that's racing, he got the karma back for his safety car victory in Miami.
Yeah,
So,
I like Verstappen's engineer even saying that on the radio.
yeah, payback for Miami.
Yeah.
So Lando Norris got completely screwed over by the safety car. It came out right as he passed the pit entrance, and so he got picked up by the safety car at the pit exit and had to follow it slowly all the way around the track, and was about 2 seconds slow of being 2 seconds short of being in the lead after the safety car. But Verstappen just barely passed him.
Yep. One thing I really like to see too, but well, no, actually, I said that wrong. One thing I hated to see was the fall off of the full wet tires versus the intermediates. It was so much fun to see the Haas cars on the full wets, just
Yeah,
absolutely
that was great.
crushing it, just making up places. And I was like, man, if only a lot more drivers had put the wets on. But then you see them just absolutely fall off at that crossover point. Like, they're practically useless unless there's insane standing water on the track.
There was so much water on the track. Like on the first lap, it looked like Magnussen drove through a lake in turn two. It
Yeah.
was like, it was crazy.
Yeah, but it was really cool to see the wets, and it really reinforced the fact that they really need to fix the wet to intermediate tire thing and maybe just have one single wet tire that's kind of a mix between that's less strong in the dry but stronger in the wet.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Then the
All
intermediate,
right.
that is.
Okay. So we had a Ferrari double DNF this race. Leclerc had car problems the entire time, and Sainz broke his car after spinning into Albon. Not a good week for Ferrari.
No. No,
But
and
on the
I.
other hand,
Oh, good.
I was going to say, on the other hand, McLaren had a very good week, and they've been strong every week for a while.
Yeah, I feel like at some point we have to stop being surprised or impressed.
By McLaren, yeah. And then Ferrari also did Ferrari things for the first time in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a
Just
while.
absolutely blew Leclerc's strategy. Like it was bad. And
They thought
then
they were cooking so good. They were like, oh, we're gonna get him with this one. They're not even gonna
yeah, and
see
then
it coming.
30 seconds later they're like, oh, we messed up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All right. Sergio Perez did not have a good week, qualifying 16th and then DNFing. Canada has never been his track, and that did not change this year.
Perez is kind of
Boy,
running out of his tracks.
this is true. And he needs to turn everything around rather quickly because McLaren and Ferrari and now Mercedes are getting rather quick. So if Sergio Perez does not turn this season for himself around, like, soon, Red Bull is going to start to feel the heat from the rest of the pack behind.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that after the contract announcement that maybe that would take some of the pressure off and, you know, you'd see him kind of get back some of the juice. But yeah, that did not happen.
Nope, he had the worst race of his season so far. Not great timing. All right, and then Ricardo had a very good race on the opposite hand. Finished 8th, I think. Something like that. Yeah. Very good race for him. Beat Yuki. And just overall, very, very good weekend for him. Even battling past some criticism from former F1 drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're starting to see some little glimmers, some little hints every once in a while that Ricardo still has some pace left in him.
Yep. He needs to make that a consistent thing, though. For sure. All right. So standings haven't really changed much since last week, so we won't go over those. Logan Sargeant still in 21st place.
Nice. Love to see it.
Out of 20 drivers. and then the actual Constructors Championship, nothing has changed other than I thought Alpine passed Haas, but I guess that did not happen. So, no, I don't know what switched. I thought something switched, but maybe not. Sauber's still scoreless, so at the moment I'm still drinking hot sauce at the end of the year. Yeah, that'll change, Ben. That'll change.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's why this bet is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Pit Stop Championship. Ferrari and Leclerc took the top step today, or this week. With a time of 2.21 seconds, not the fastest we've seen, but not terrible. And then he was followed by Russell and Sainz. Fourth and fifth were Hamilton and Alonso. 6 through 10 were Norris, Verstappen, Ricardo, Ocon, and Piastri. Slowest pit stop of the day was a 4-second pit stop by Yuki Tsunoda. Or slowest, fastest pit stop, I should say.
Yeah. We did have Ricardo serving a pretty hefty one during the penalty.
Yep. Guanyu had a horrible one. A really, really bad one. Who else? Magnussen had a really bad one. There were a few pretty bad ones, but we only take
Magnussen
the fastest.
Did have a really bad one, didn't he?
Yeah. He was like, you know, made up all those positions and then had like a 17-second pit stop.
Yeah. Right. So, back to where Hulkenberg was.
Exactly. And then the standings in the Pit Stop Championship have actually changed, and Max Verstappen has taken the lead from Sergio Perez. Other than that, not much. I think this is where the standings changed that I was thinking of. I think Sauber just jumped Haas, I believe is what happened.
Gotcha.
In the Pit Stop Championship. All right. And then Overtake of the Week was pretty obvious. I gave this to Alex Albon for his insane overtake on Daniel Ricciardo and Esteban Ocon into the chicane in Canada.
You gotta be so brave to overtake in the wet.
Yeah, it was kind of an accidental overtake, but he made it work and it looked great.
Yep.
So, good stuff there. Alright, predictions for last week, or 2 weeks ago now, in Detroit in the IndyCar Series. Let me hear who you had on pole position, Ben.
I had Kirkwood for pole position.
And I had Power, and it went to Colton Herta. The podium. What did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon, Pelot, and McLaughlin. So I got the winner, so that feels pretty good.
Yep, I had Power, Pelot, and Award. None of them hit. The podium was Dixon, Ericsson, and Armstrong. Really happy for Marcus Ericsson. Hopefully he gets his swagger back.
Yeah.
Winning number of pit stops, what'd you say, Ben?
I thought it would be 3.
And I thought it would be 2, and it was 2. Surprisingly, with all those... Well, actually, not really surprisingly. There was so much yellow flag running, there was no tire wear.
No, yeah.
So, I guess there's that. It probably would have been a 1-stop if not everybody came in for wets at one point. All right. Red America... Pole position, what'd you say?
I had Pelot for this one.
And I had Herta. It went to Lundqvist with Herta.
Never would have gotten that one.
Yeah. So, unfortunately missed that one. Podium, what'd you got, Ben?
I had Power, Palou, and Dixon. So I got one of them again. I got the race winner.
Yep, I had Award, Herta, and Lundgaard. So once again, I missed all three. Podium was Power, Newgarden, and McLaughlin. Penske is killing it this year.
Yeah, even without push to pass, they're killing it.
Yeah. Winning number of pit stops, what you got?
I had four for this one.
I had three, and it was three. So once again, I think I'm at like a five race in a row streak with pit stops. I don't know how I'm doing it.
Got it
Actually, no,
dialed
I
in.
didn't. I don't think I hit the Indy 500. Did I? Oh, wait, maybe I did. I don't remember,
I think I
but.
did, because I said like 10 or something, didn't I?
Well, you started with 10. It
Or
wasn't
no,
10. I think you
I
said
went down.
5, and it ended up being 5.
Yeah.
Because I guess 7, but I think it was 5, so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe not that big of a streak, but I've been doing well this season. I know that.
Yeah, in
All
my defense,
right.
Colton Herta had five and he finished in sixth place, so
Yeah.
I thought I was cooking.
Maybe this week, Ben.
Maybe this week.
All right, Canadian Grand Prix, Formula One. Let's talk about it. Top five to remind everybody were Verstappen, Norris, Russell, Hamilton, and Piastri. What did you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, Norris, and Piastri with Albon as my dark horse. So I got the first and I got the fifth.
And I had Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Sainz, and Russell. I put a lot of cards into Ferrari this time. Not a good
Ooh.
choice, but I did get the top two correct. And then my dark horse was Ollie Bearman, who of course did not participate in this race.
Big swing.
I took a stab, and I whiffed. But you know,
Next
such is
time,
life.
though, for sure.
Next time, yeah, my dark horse this week is Ayumu Iwasa.
There you
Anyway,
go.
all right, fastest lap went to Lewis Hamilton. What'd you say?
Science.
I had Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Lando Norris. What'd you got?
I had Verstappen.
And I had Norris
Norris
once
needs to
again.
stop getting driver of the day.
Man, Norris has, I think, as many driver of the days this season as Verstappen has wins. I think I said that
Lando
last week too.
Norris, driver of the day dominance, could bore fans.
Yeah, could bore fans. Even though that's like the exact opposite of like the entire point of it. All right. This week's predictions. We are going to Laguna Seca in 2 weeks' time in the IndyCar series. Very weird. Caught me off guard. Usually Laguna Seca is the finale, but that title goes to Nashville? Question mark.
Is it really?
I think it's Nashville.
Wow, what a shit track to end at.
I mean, yeah. Let me
I
go to my trusty revhang.com and look at the
mean, it's not
schedule.
like I think Portland would be that much better, but
No, Portland would be far worse. Portland is such a bad track. But we love it because it's home.
yeah,
All right.
it's within 2 hours of my house, so it is the
It
best track,
is the best
actually.
track. And Nashville is, in fact, the finale. And
Yeah.
Portland isn't even the second to last race.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
When's
we've got
Portland?
Portland is August 25th. And then August 31st is an oval race in Milwaukee. And then the next day we have a second oval race in Milwaukee and then Nashville.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, weird schedule this year. Very weird to have Laguna Seca in June.
Yeah.
But here we are. All
Oh,
right.
well.
We love this track though, Ben. This is such a good
My
track.
favorite track.
I am kind of sad they're not ending the season on it because this is probably up there amongst the best tracks in IndyCar.
It
I
was
would argue
such a great way to end the
alongside,
season.
yeah,
Yeah.
Road America is the other one, which we just went to, and it wasn't super great, but you
It had
know,
some
it's the
entertaining moments.
it did, it did, and it's my favorite track to drive, in the US, I should say, specify. All right, Laguna Seca, enough babbling. Pole position, what you got, Ben?
I'm gonna say Palou takes pole on this one.
And I've got Colton Herta again.
I mean,
I think we
he's really
swapped.
good at getting poles. As long as there are no other cars on track and no strategy to worry about, dude is set.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Podium, what do you have, Ben?
I have Herta, Palou, and Lundgaard.
Okay, I have Herta, Power, and Newgarden. All of us with some power players here.
Yep. Always a good bet to have a couple of Penske boys, though.
Yeah, for sure. Heard it's got to win a race at some point, right?
Right? Nice, right?
Right? Maybe. We'll see how his luck treats him this week. Winning number of pit stops, what do you have, Ben?
Have three.
I've got two. I thought about putting three, though, so I think you might have it, especially if
There
it's
we
hot,
go.
which it usually is, especially this time of year.
Just insane tired egg.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, man. Because usually it's in, like, well, I guess usually it's end of summer, so it's pretty hot, too, but
Yeah.
it might be remarkably warm this year.
The track was recently redone. So
Doesn't it get redone like every year? I know
no, this is different.
this is different. I know they redid the whole turn one section though, so
Yeah.
that's like the biggest braking zone too, and very
I'm not sure if
sketchy.
that makes it higher or lower degradation to have a newer, slicker track, but
Yeah, turn two, sorry. Turn one is a kink on a straight. I always forget that. Turn two is turn one at Laguna Seca. All right. Spanish Grand Prix predictions for 2 weeks from now. Give me your top five, Ben.
I'm gonna have Verstappen, Norris, Perez, Leclerc, and Russell in the top five, and then I have Ricardo as my dark horse.
Nice. I have Norris, Hamilton, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Piastri as my top five, with Tsunoda as my dark horse. So both of us going for
Ooh,
RB
it's
in the dark
on.
horse slot. Yeah, we'll see which one. And then my top five prediction looks kind of crazy, but honestly, I don't think it's that crazy anymore.
It's possible.
Yeah,
Especially
Hamilton
if it
on second is
rains.
a little. Yeah, well, if it rains, I would not put Norris in first because the rain seems to be Norris's mortal enemy. But Hamilton P2, I think, is the biggest stretch of all of this
Yeah, that's a
for me.
big jump. You put him as a
Yeah.
dark horse recently, didn't you?
I don't want to talk about it. Maybe. All right, fastest lap. It's getting really hard, by the way, to choose dark horses because so many people have a legitimate shot that they can't be called a dark horse.
And we can't just keep putting like Magnussen over and over again, so.
Yeah, it's like we're either choosing it's every time it's either been a Haas or an Aston Martin, and now we got RB in there.
Yep.
But all right, fastest lap, what do you got?
I have George Russell.
I have Charles Leclerc, driver of the day.
Carlos Sainz, a little home field advantage.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my free bingo space with Lando Norris.
I'd be so mad if that happened.
It'd be pretty funny. All right, Ben, it is that time of the episode. Do you have any beautiful words of wisdom for us?
It is that time, and I didn't do one last week, but this week I have one and a half to make up for it. The first 0.5 is don't get sick. It sucks. I got sick for like 3 or 4 days, and I'm still coughing up a lung and had a fever. And it sucks. So don't get sick. Drink lots of water. That's my recommendation. And the second one, get a big hat for working in the sun or being out in the sun or hiking or anything like that. It's so nice. It keeps it cool. It keeps the sun off you. Because, like, if your head heats up, then you're miserable everywhere else. So if you get a big hat, especially one of those big light straw hats, like, you don't feel it that much. You know, it can protect you from like any hot wind that there is. It keeps the sun off even like your shoulders if it's big enough. It looks cool. So, can't recommend enough. Get a big hat.
Get a big hat. I love it. Straw hats are underrated.
Very much so, yeah.
Unfortunately, my job revolves working with hats, so you know, I've got a love-hate relationship, especially with straw
Like straw
hats.
hats.
We do.
Oh my gosh.
They are not fun to work with.
No. I used to,
Very
when I worked
easily
on the farm,
damaged.
I had an absolute unit of like a straw sun hat. It was
Good.
enormous, but it
Take a
was so
beating.
nice for working in the field with
Yeah, for
like a
sure.
portable an umbrella to keep under.
Yeah, it's very nice having a straw hat on while you're like you said, camping outside. It definitely works wonders.
Yep.
All right. Well, that concludes this episode of Rev Hang. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on, whether it's YouTube or Rumble, Spotify, anything. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and even TikTok at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the IndyCar Grand Prix at Laguna Seca and the Formula One Spanish Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.